सुदेवाय कृष्ण योगानुभावं तं निशमयेन्द्र इति विस्मितः निष्ठम्बो भ्रष्टा संकल्पः स्वान्मेघान् सन्न्यवार्यवयात् कृष्णयोगानुभावं तम् निशमयेन्द्र इति विस्मितः निष्ठम्बो भ्रष्टसङ्कल्पः स्वान्मेघान् सन्न्यवार्ययात् कृष्णयोगानुभावं तम् निशमयेन्द्रो इति विस्मितः निष्ठम्बो भ्रष्टसङ्कल्पः स्वान्मेघान् सन्न्यवार्ययात् निशमेन्द्र इति विस्मितः निष्ठम्बो भ्रष्टसङ्कल्पः स्वान्मेघान् सन्न्यवारय लेडीस् कृष्णयोगानुभावं तम् निशमेन्द्र इति विस्मितः निष्ठम्बो भ्रष्टसङ्कल्प सन्निघान् सन्न्यवार्य कृष्ण ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण योग ऑफ द मिस्टिक पावर अनुभावम द इन्फ्लुएंस तम दैट निशम्य सींग इंद्र लॉर्ड इंद्र अति विस्मितः मोस्ट अमेज्ड निष्ठम्भ हूज फॉल्स प्राइड वॉज ब्रॉट डाउन भ्रष्ट रुइंड संकल्पः हूज डिटर्मिनेशन स्वान हिज ओन मेघान क्लाउड्स सन्निवार्ययत स्टॉप्ड ट्रांसलेशन When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलिताम् येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपाम् साग्रजाता సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే ప్రాప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభాను సుతే దేవి హరి ప్రియ వాంఛా కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
So we continue. This is text number 24. Text 25, translation. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds. The sun had risen. Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the covered community as follows. Text 26. Lord Krishna said, My dear covered men, please go out with your wives, children and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and the rain have stopped and the river's high waters have subsided. 27. After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the covered men went out. The women, children and elderly persons gradually followed them. 28. While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead put down the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before. We'll read translation to 24 again. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, he orders his clouds to desist. So as we are seeing the beautiful events taking place in this most celebrated of all leelas of Krishna's pastimes, the Govardhan Leela, we are seeing how Indra has finally come to realize his great folly. It has dawned upon him after 7 long days that he is severely mistaken about the identity of the person who is lifting this huge mountain. And his pride is thwarted. His pride is deflated. So, What is the role of pride in Krishna consciousness? Does it have any role whatsoever, or it is something which is always taboo to be looked down upon and something which we always abhor as a very inimical and great enemy of the sadhaka? But Krishna consciousness is so perfect and complete that even pride has a role to play in our Krishna consciousness. It is not something which we have to really throw away. We can be proud of Krishna. We can be proud of Krishna's devotees. We can be proud of Srila Prabhupada. And we can be proud of all those wonderful saints, Vaishnavas, Acharyas, who have brought Krishna consciousness to this world. So we pride in them. We pride in their contributions. We pride in their very, very exalted
example which they have portrayed to this world. So today we would like to all take pride in reminiscing the glory of Thakur Narottamdas, right? Because that would be the most appropriate way of using this pride when we come to realize the individual glories of, you know, our parampara. Srila Prabhupada has especially amongst his various foundational principles he has taught us, one of the most important principles he has taught us is to always deeply rever, respect and worship our parampara acharyas. That has been a very foundational principle which we have been made to learn and get trained into. And therefore, before every class, before every major event, before every Vyasa Puja, before any such major events, we are always seeking blessings of our acharyas. We do not feel qualified enough, and we should never feel qualified enough to approach, what to talk of Radha Krishna directly, not even Gaurnitai directly. Even they must be accessed, their mercy and their grace must be accessed through their glorious representatives. And in regard to this very, very special personality, Narottamdas Thakur, who is a very outstanding acharya in our line, very outstanding. Each one has his unique contributions, but in some ways or in significant ways, Narottamdas Thakur is a very, very unique and a very, very extraordinary acharya in our line. So, just like we have the Triveni Sangam at Prayag, and any time of the year you go there and you take a bath in that holy spot with pure intention of receiving Prima Bhakti, it is beneficial. It is immensely beneficial to purify our hearts at the Triveni Sangam, one of the purest places in this universe to bathe in, any time of the year. But when you go on in the Magha Mela or on the time when there is Kumbh Mela going on, right, and the special constellations are going on, and you take a bath at that time, then it is even more auspicious. Similarly, it is great honor to always remember Thakur Narottamdas at all times of the year, and to, you know, feel grateful and learn from his example and the richness of what he has given to the traditional Gaudiya line, the enrichment he has given in the form of his songs and his example and the kirtan, so many things, right? It is beneficial to remember him at all times, but on his disappearance day, on the parents' day, it is even more auspicious. So it's like that. So we would all benefit from sharing some thoughts, remembering and hearing him today. Janma karma cha mai divyam, right? Not only Krishna himself, but even Krishna's devotees have very special, oftentimes appearance pastimes. So they are all divine, of course. There is nothing karmic happening over here. It's totally a transcendental affair. And we are explained in the Gaudiya literature how one particular day when Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who was looking towards this village in Bangladesh called Kheturi, began loudly exclaiming, seeing across the Padma River, with great feeling, great emotion, and with vehement force, shouting, almost screaming and yelling the names of Narottam, 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 with great absorption. And this was not too uncommon, because Mahaprabhu would go into an internal moods of deep ecstasy and shout the names of Narottam, because Narottam means the topmost person. But here it was different. It was far more intense than ever before. Extremely intense. And then at the appropriate time, Nityananda Prabhu asked him, what is the meaning of this exclamation which was so powerful? And Mahaprabhu explained that, I am waiting for the descent of my dear devotee Narottam.
So when the Lord is very eager to have him in this world. So that's how wonderful he is, so special he is. So it is said that almost in the same year as Mahaprabhu's disappearance, 1534, is the time when he has come to this world. Almost coinciding with the Lord's disappearance is the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur. It coincides. So, as far as he is born as a great prince, Krishnananda Datta is his father, is a king of that particular area around Kheturi. And being a prince, he was brought up in royalty, but never too interested in that at all. His childhood was spent primarily in hearing Mahaprabhu's pastimes. That was his childhood pastime. No games, no cricket. None of these frivolous things which most of us have done. But he was fully absorbed in hearing from Krishna Das, this wonderful Vaishnav, who had so much enriched his heart with Mahaprabhu's Leela. And that creates a foundation in Narottam Das Thakur's life of things to happen in the future. That creates a deep impact, a deep emotional, spiritual impact on the young, growing heart of Narottam Das Thakur, who is now fully absorbing the pastimes, the mood of Mahaprabhu's devotion. And it's important to understand why, because Narottam Das Thakur actually is the most powerful example of Gauranga Prema and the true embodiment of that love. At the right time this happens, as per the instructions of Nityananda Prabhu, as a young adolescent boy, Nityananda Prabhu brings Narottam Das, who is called sometimes also as Naru, as his nickname by his loved ones. They bring Naru to the bank of the Padma River. The Padma River has become now, Mahaprabhu had deposited, like we have a safe deposit vault where we put the best of our treasures, which nobody should steal. So Mahaprabhu's topmost treasure of his own love of his heart were deposited safely with the goddess of Padma River, who was most fortunate to have it within her possession. But it was not for her to have, but for her to keep, to give it to the most blessed one. So Narottam Das Thakur bathes in this river. Suddenly she experiences symptoms which she was told would happen to her. She overfloods. This river just overfloods the banks, and there is a great level of amount of ecstasy in the heart of Padma herself, the river goddess Padma herself, and feeling the jubilation similar to what she had experienced when Mahaprabhu had bathed in her water, she realizes that this is the same person. And Mahaprabhu appears in his most divine form, and that time he embraces young Narottam. That is the most amazing embrace, because it is like the merger, not the Mayavadi merger, but the merger of the hearts of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Narottam Das Thakur. Their hearts merge into one. And Mahaprabhu completely invested his own Prema Bhakti into the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. And we can imagine, we can maybe scarcely imagine what it must have been like, that extremely powerful experience in the heart of this young adolescent who now came out and was completely bowled over, his completely changed personality. He was fiercely shouting the names of Radha and Krishna. He was not able to contain himself. He was like over flooding. All love of God, of the entire creation, was in the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. The Prema Bhakti of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is himself the epitome of Krishna Prema, that was now lying in the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. What must be the change of state of his heart? We can scarcely imagine. His form had changed into golden like Mahaprabhu's. He was a changed person. And when he went to his home, he was no longer able to continue his regular activities. And seeing the transformation, his father realized that he is now God intoxicated. His total got intoxicated. And his heart was now swelling with deep emotions of separation. The Viparamala Bhava, which is the exquisite nature of Mahaprabhu's love for Krishna, that was completely overwhelming his entire consciousness. And he was experiencing such intense emotions of separation from Radha and Krishna that it was impossible to conduct a normal life the way we would understand as being like. It's impossible. And he wanted to leave the house and completely join the movement of Mahaprabhu by leaving his home. So he was again, just like Raghunath Das Goswami, being the son of a very wealthy man, there were armed guards around him all the time. And then it is explained that he had to go to a Jagirdar, a Muslim king, whom he had to go, and when he is going to meet the Jagirdar, he has an escape. He escaped. There is no chain, there is no bar, there is no jail, there is no prison, there is nothing in this world which can bind a person who has had his calling for Krishna. No family attachments, no amount of the glittering wealth of this world, and no power whatsoever, however fascinating it may be. Nothing in the world is so powerful enough to bind a person who has this calling, this burning fire to find his God. And that's the hallmark of many great saints in the Christian tradition, in our tradition, and especially in Thakur Dharanandas. This is one of those examples where he crossed all boundaries and nothing could hold him back. So he reaches by foot, and there are some guards who meet him on the way, and they say he's supposed to go back. And he gives a very nice poetic explanation as to what he's doing. He said that this, just like a wife cannot hold herself back from joining her husband in the funeral pyre by performing sati. And that's the way she wants to express her love for her husband. So for me, I cannot but not give myself into the fire of devotion to Krishna. I'm like that woman who's love struck for her Lord. And his explanation is so powerful and so genuine that the guards actually, succumb to that and said, okay, take some money and you kindly go the way you want to go. It was irresistible. His entry into Vrindavan, is the hallmark of that entry is his meeting with his guru. Because by now, Loknath Goswami had been already informed by the Lord in the heart through a divine vision, the previous night especially, and before also, that this young boy will come and you kindly accept him as your disciple. He enters the Govindji Mandir and he is so overwhelmed to see this beautiful structure. We need to remember now that this is not the broken structure which we see today with its lost glory. Of course, it's still very beautiful, but still we can imagine it is 7-story high with all those bedecked jewels and ornamentation, and with Radha Govindji himself residing in that temple, and all the Brijvasis coming visiting in huge thousands. It must be a place which is so much surcharged with spiritual emotion, and the atmosphere must be so beautiful. So coming into that environment enriched with Rupa Goswami's love, his heart is transformed and he just falls in ecstasy outside the temple. And it is not difficult to understand that this is the special person, Narottam Das. He meets this Guru Maharaj and he invites him for prasad, and for the first time he has prasad with this Guru Maharaj, and he begs him to take initiation. So Narottam Goswami says, you already have your guru is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You have directly been initiated by him, sort of, and you already received his love in your heart. And he is Akhila Jagata Guru. So you wonder, what do we need for having another guru? So then Narottam Das Thakur expresses his deep, genuine humility and says, no, my dear Prabhu, this is not true. Everyone must have a guru to be trained in practical matters in devotional life. And I am born as a Shudra, in Kayastha Shudra. Please kindly do not evade me, even though I accept that Mahaprabhu is definitely the guru of the whole world, but kindly accept me. But Loknath Goswami is very firm and on his own vow that I will never take any disciple in my life. So he's very firm on that. And said, in any case, you must, you know, first chant Hare Krishna mantra for 1 year at least to establish your linkage with the holy name, which he does. And he survives only on the remnants of his Guru Maharaj for prasad. And we know the famous story of how his humility takes him to such heights of menial service, which are not imaginable in this world today. That being a son of a king, a prince, a royalty, he takes this very lowly position of cleaning the area where his Guru Maharaj has answered nature's call. Every day, for a whole year practically, he cleanses the place with his own hands and makes it clean with water and mud, and so that it is comfortable for his Guru Maharaj to come the next day and do. And then it was, Loknath Goswami realizes that what are you doing? Why are you doing this? His heart melts. Loknath Goswami's heart melts, but still he is firm on his vow. And there is, it said, another 1 year goes, and ultimately he succumbs, because one day Mahaprabhu comes in a dream and says, Loknath Goswami, said, why are you, you know, this is a loving thing, but he said, why are you acting so sort of, you know, give up your false humility, Mahaprabhu tells him, and accept Loknath as your disciple. And the next day Loknath is accepted. Of course, Loknath Goswami is so much in his own. The reason for not accepting disciples was not out of any arrogance or whatsoever. It was because his heart was so much absorbed in separation from Rupa and Sanatana and other associates and the Lord himself, that he was in no mood whatsoever to do anything else of this type, becoming like a guru. He was simply bearing the burden of his own heart separation from his associates and the Lord. So it was not in any way, you know, wanted to do any service like becoming a guru of somebody else. But anyway, he accepts it. And of course, he is not trained by Loknath Goswami, but he is deputed to now the tutelage of Jiva Goswami, who has three, among others, three very special disciples, Thakur Narottam Das, Shyamananda Pandit, and Srinivas Acharya. Being the most special disciples of Jiva Goswami, these titles were given to them. They were outstanding in their performance as a very, from the very beginning. So they were given titles like Narottam Das, Thakur, Mahashoy. And Srinivas became Srinivas Acharya. And Dukhi Krishnadas became Shamananda. Right? So they are trained in the Gaudiya literature by Jiva Goswami. So we can see that even though one has pure devotion, still, because they are to be trained as preachers for the whole line of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, so these three great Nitya Siddhas were also trained properly in the philosophical tenets of Gaudiya Vaishnavism by their Guru Maharaj. The most powerful of them was Jiva Goswami. He was the topmost philosopher of the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, the world knows. And among various things which he has done for this world, the most wonderful contributions which he has made is starting the first Gaur Purnima festival. This contribution is glorified by Gaudiya historians as one of the very principal contributions to this world. By now Mahaprabhu has left this world, but now it has been several decades have passed, and all his associates are simply in a state of spiritual, you can say, depression, in a state of complete melancholy and sorrow, and almost dysfunctional in their routine activities because of the heavy heart they are carrying of not even dying and not even able to live in memory of their Lord. This was the gloom which was practically there all over Bengal and Orissa at the time. Because the Lord had left, Rupa Sanatan had left, Shivas Thakur had left, Thakur Haridas had left, Acharya Advaita had left. So many of the associates had left this world, and, you know, without your loved one, it's like, you know, there is no point in living in this world. It's complete void. So what is done now is, you know, when you want to enliven devotees, what do we do? Have a festival. Right? When devotees come from Sankirtan, you know, after a tired marathon for 1 month, you have a festival. So in this way, when you want to enliven devotees, you have a festival. And that's what exactly he did. but a festival of a type which would be like a legacy which he created. So now he wants to have a huge festival, the first Gaur Purnima in the Vaishnava line of Gaudiyas, which is one of the most sacred days which we today follow. And elaborate arrangements are made by his cousin Santosh Dutt, who has now become his disciple. And we can say that festival has many important features, but among them, one of the most important features of that festival is the genuine hospitality culture, which was inaugurated among Vaishnavas. How everyone has sent invitation, obviously no email, because it would be very impersonal. Even if it was there, I don't think he would use it that time, even if it was there. It could be completely impersonal to just and said, please come, we are having a nice festival, Hare Krishna, and bring your disciples along, and there will be prasadam thereafter. Whatever. No, it was a handmade, handwritten Sanskrit poetry, a personally delivered invitation to every great mahant of the time. And as devotees started coming, and it was something to look forward to. Oh, there's a festival commemorating Mahaprabhu's descendants' world. Beautiful, let's all go. People are walking in flocks and flocks from various villages all over Bengal. We can imagine the whole scene. People are walking in huge amounts. They say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going for this festival. Oh, really? I didn't know about this. Can I come along? Yes, come along. And this way people snowball, and then a huge crowd comes ultimately, and they are at the bank of the Padma River. And there are huge boats constructed, and they all of them are fetched across the other side. And there, Srinivas Acharya, Natundas Thakur, and Shaman, they are all waiting personally with garlands in their hands and chandan, receiving each and every devotee with such respect and love, falling at their feet, offering them garlands and chandan, escorting them back to the places where they're supposed to live. One personal servant per dignitary, just like we see today. You know, this is not unusual for us at Gopinath Mandir. Every dignitary is given a personal servant, and they have their own places to stay and everything else, and a special temple is constructed, huge special temple is constructed for this event. The huge Prasadam Hall, a large Kirtan Mandap, all granaries and everything, as everything done, everything financed by Santosh Dutt, who gave practically emptied out his entire treasury for this very, very special event to please his guru and please his brother. The chief guest, every festival has to have a chief guest. The chief guest of the time was Janava Devi, senior most acharya, female acharya of the time, most respected, most loved, most worshipped, most venerated of all the devotees. And of course the festival is described in detail. We may not have time for all that, but it's a 3-day festival in which 5 deities are installed. The chief pujari for the entire festival is Srinivas Acharya. And that is, as you know, Gaur Purnima coincides with the holy festival, right? We all know what is holy, the unholy ways in which we have played holy. In the past, we are all too familiar about the unholy ways which we have played. And those memories are not still erased. The color has not gone still from our consciousness. We know what we have done and the crazy things as a young boy. But this is a very respectable holy, very respectable holy performed. Mother Janava brings his red powder, gulal. We know it is gulal. And she announces that there will be a holy festival now. And she puts it first on the deities and makes them play holy. And then the same powder is then distributed. And everyone has their place, their whole beautiful holy is done. And the festival is described like that. At this event, this event is special in so many ways. The highlight is one of the important highlights is the singing of Narottam Das. As he said, is embodiment of Gaur Prema. And much of Gaur Prema is expressed through Kirtan. As we know, Gaur Mahaprabhu is worshipped. The modality of worshipping is not Agarbatti and Chamara, which is the traditional ways, of course, which are there. But the prime way of worshipping Gaurang Mahaprabhu in this age is Sankirtan Yajna. And that was in its most idyllic style, which is now of course lost because of the number of years which have passed now, several generations. That very, very special style was inaugurated for the first time in the Gaudiya tradition by Natanas Thakur. The seed of the tradition, which was sort of imported or rather exported from the spiritual world, was in the heart of Swarup Damodar, who was one of the most finest singers in Mahaprabhu's time, that legacy of special singing was transferred thereafter to the three Ghosh brothers, Madhav Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, and Vasu Ghosh, right? So Madhav Ghosh was the most expert of the time Mridanga player. And today the ISKCON world also, one of the most best Mridanga players is called Madhav. And that probably comes from there. Of the three brothers, Madhav was the most expert Mridanga player of the time. And he accompanied Mahaprabhu in Mridanga. And Srinivas was, Vasu Ghosh is famous for his singing and his songs. And Govinda Ghosh is famous for his Pujari Seva. These three Ghosh brothers, they inherited from Swarup Damodar the singing tradition. And that along was taken up by Narottama Thakur and developed. Like you have science. Science develops. Someone finds the atom, and then somebody, you know, figures out there is something more to the atom than that, and then they figure out something more to the nucleus than that, and the science grows. And today science has grown into quantum mechanics and this and that and so many other things. So similarly, spiritual life is not stagnant. It's not that whatever is there and it's nothing. It grows. Knowledge grows, understanding grows, the depth of understanding grows, the ecstasy grows. So Thakur Dandanadas add his own heart's Gauranga Prem ecstasy and express that through a very special type of kirtan called Garan Hati. Garan Hati is the name of is the style of the kirtan which he inaugurated. And that for the first time he expresses, it starts off first with what they call as singing of Gaura Chandrika. That means the first glorify Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because we remember, it is a very sensitive thing here, because devotees have come from Vrindavan, who are all Krishna premis, Krishna lovers, and there are also lovers who have come from Bengal and Orissa, who are Gaur premis, you know. So there was a little bit of, you know, historically speaking, there was some amount of tussle there, because there was some sort of philosophical debate going on at the time about various things. So anyway, just to, you know, synergize everyone into a one common platform of Vrindavan Goswami tradition. So they sing first with Gauranga Mahaprabhu's songs and glorifying him. This is called as Gaura Chandrika. And then it evolves, the kirtan evolves further into Krishna Kirtan. So it starts off with Srinivas Acharya starting the singing. And then at the time when musicians are, there is a very special Mridang player called Devidas. He's glorified there. Devidas is a very special Mridang player. A lot of musicians have come. You can imagine now it's a big function. It's not just two or three Mridang. A lot of Mridangas and Kartals and big musician entourage is there. They're all singing to the ecstasy. And they brought the kirtan to the crescendo. After they brought the kirtan to the crescendo, Narottama Thakur enters into the kirtan. Yeah? We have to really allow our hearts to absorb a minuscule fragment portion of that kirtan. You know, we have seen nice kirtans as well, of course. We have in our contemporary times, we have great kirtaniyas in the ISKCON world. But that kirtan must have been absolutely extraordinary kirtan. And when he comes in and starts expressing his love for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, for Radha Krishna, through his kirtan, that takes it into a completely different height altogether. And everyone is so absorbed, and there is torrential rain of tears flowing from every participant's heart. They are soaking their own bodies and the bodies of the neighboring devotees in love being expressed to kirtan. This, everything is going on so beautifully, and the kirtan goes on higher and higher and deeper and higher and deeper and higher. At the point when it goes to a level which cannot be surpassed, at that time the most fantastic miracle of all miracles takes place. What is that? The entire entourage of Gauranga Mahaprabhu with his associates who have left this world several decades ago, again they jump back into the kirtan. They all descend from the spiritual sky. Gaur and Nitai are again dancing. The most best of dance, Gaur Nataraj exceeds even Lord Shiva in dancing. Nityanandra Bodh, expert dancer. They both are dancing. Adwaita Acharya, old man but expert dancer. And they all come. Rup Sanatan come. Thakur Haridas has come. All these devotees whom everyone was lamenting, crying, absorbed in their separation, they all see them in the three dimension. They see them as embodied personality. They see them that they're dancing. So you can imagine the explosion of emotions. Explosion of emotions at that time. And this kirtan goes on for several hours into the night. And it is not that this privilege of seeing Mahaprabhu was only reserved for the very special Paramhamsas only. This was absolutely mercy for all. It is said hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people in that festival, they saw. This is historically sort of not just some utopian idea which happened. It's only a few saw and nobody really knows what's. Everyone there saw this. So that kirtan was very, very special. Very special. Satya kirtan will never take place in this world again. Where will you have a kirtan where Thakur Haridas will come, Narendranath Thakur is there, he will sing, and Gaurang Mahaprabhu and Nityananda will dance, Adwaita will dance, and Virbhadra will dance. And, who can imagine that kirtan? But anyway, it happened at Kheturi. So that makes Kheturi place a very special place in the heart of the Vaishnavas. And everyone hankers to go there. But we can't go there because, you know, how can all of us go there unless Radhanath Maharaj engages a very special yatra where the whole congregation can go, but, you know, require, I don't know, passport or whatever, some formalities, legal formalities, immigration formalities, we don't know. But it's something which all of us would like to go to the place where he was born, where the kirtan took place, where Mahaprabhu came. Anyway, many things. Anyway, so the thing is, the Leela is very large and wonderful. We will skip a few things now to go on to the pastime of his disappearance, because in respect of the time factor, it is said that at the time of Narendranath Thakur there was an intense controversy, almost fierce battle between the caste Brahmins and the Vaishnavas of the time, because and this went to a level whereby it became very ugly, practically very ugly, where Narendranath Thakur, now being born as a Kayastha, not very respected among the so-called Brahmanas, Smartha Brahmanas, was now initiating queens and kings and other Brahmins and people from all caste, all respectable people of this times who were sensible to understand his glory, were surrendering wholesale their lives to his lotus feet. And that enraged the caste Brahmins so bad that they almost tried to kill him. This is what happens even in religious circles. It is not only... This is like religious terrorism practically, you know, where you destroy people who are really doing the good work of God. You know, they are also destroyed by other people who are supposed to be so-called men of God. So this is the sad part of religious history. So he was, there was an attempt on his life, and at least they could not kill him, they wanted to defeat him and just dishonor him like that. So anyway, the king, Raja Narasingha, he is told that this is, we would like to have a debate with this person. And he says, okay, I'm open for a debate. We know the whole special story of Kheturi Gram, where these two disciples, Gangaran Chakravarti and Ram Chakravarti, are sitting as Panwala and, Potwala. And this, all the whole entourage, the king comes in, and these people are selling products, and as they're discussing the price and speaking things, they're speaking in Shuddha Sanskrit. And they start debating with the king's scholars, and there is a big scholar called Rupanarayan Chakravarti, Rupanarayan, who comes in, and he is defeated flat absolutely by these two. And the king says, well, you know, Rupanarayan, you're supposed to be a great scholar, but you can see these two, this Panwala has defeated you. So this is, and I said, who are you? And I said, I'm simply a disciple of Narendranath Thakur. I said, oh, you see, if you can be defeated by a Panwala disciple of Narendranath Thakur, you have the guts to go and talk to him. I said, let's go back. I said, yeah, I agree. Right? So they all go back, and practically most of them actually become his disciples. So this controversy goes on so fierce, and large number of people are there, and they are very, very blasphemous. So on one hand, Narendranath Thakur is having his own heavy heart of separation from the Lord, and then he has to also counteract these blasphemies of the people. So to explain that, one day he goes into a deep sense of trance. We need to remember here that in his eternal Siddha Deha, we know that these are Nitya Siddha devotees, in the Siddha Deha he is Vilas Manjari, and among the various wonderful things he does in the spiritual world for the divine couple, one special service which he has is distributing milk. he cooks milk for Champaklata Manjari, and he distributes that to the Manjaris and to the divine couple. Mm-hmm. So that's a very special service. He's distributing milk, of course not ordinary Pathmeda milk, but extremely special, flavored, exotic spicing and etc. Whatever is there, the very very special milk of the Surabhi cows of Golok Vrindavan. It's a very special service. So he is absorbed in the internal ras, and he goes into several days of ecstasy, internal meditation of samadhi, and then he leaves his body. He just leaves his body, and they gather firewood, a very special firewood, and they place his divine body on that. And even as he's on the funeral pyre, you know, sometimes envy is such a terrible anartha that even after this person has apparently left his body, these blasphemous Maratha Brahmas still come on to him and they keep blaspheming even after he's dead. Look at this, he's dead. This man is now dead. He's supposed to be a great guy and this and that. Talk all nonsense, so many things, right? And they blaspheme him even on his funeral pyre. This is the degraded nature of this anartha called envy. That you just cannot see the glory of such a great personality like Thakur Narayana Das, who was doing so many wonderful things. So his disciples, they beg their Guru Maharaj, that my dear Guru Maharaj, these people are so bereft of any good fortune that they cannot see any good in you. Please, please, for their sake, out of your causeless compassion, come and deliver them. So it is said that on the behest of Ganganand Chakravarti, Thakur Narayana Das again comes alive, like Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He sits up and he preaches to them, and they are stunned. This man was dead, and he's talking. And then a golden glow comes over his body. And in divine ecstasy, a golden Brahman thread arises on his chest. And they know now he is the topmost of all Brahmins. And they surrender their lives. They become his disciples. And then his life is extended now. He lives a few more years, it is said. And he stays a few more years in this world. And does his allotted duties to this world, preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, we know that he is famous for his songs, which we sing every day. One of the most important songs which we sing among all the various hundreds of songs he's written is Guru Vandana, which is one of the most important events in our life. Singing Guru Puja for Prabhupada and for our Diksha Gurus. And that's something which he has given to all of us. And we know, even from that one song, if you don't even take other songs of Thakurananda, that one song itself has such emotion expressed. Ha ha Prabhu Koro Doya. You know, we can see his heart is exploding with emotion for his guru. Right? That the song, when sung properly by, you know, by any genuine disciple, it just, and it moves your heart. At least for the moment, your heart is moved with emotion for taking shelter of the spiritual master. How beautiful that song is. What of all the other various songs is written which are there, Tulsi Aarti and various other things. It's a great legacy which we all have. But now, his disappearance pastime is such that he does his various things, writing of songs and other things. And at this place, again he tells it's supposed to take me to the bank of the Ganga where I would like to, you know, take a bath. So they take him there and then said, now bathe my body with Ganga water. So each disciple comes and offers a palmful of water to the divine body of their Guru Maharaj. And what they see is this, the Guru Maharaj's body is now melting away into the water, but turning into milk. So each and every tissue of his body, being not gross muscle or, you know, vein or bone tissue, it is a divine body. That same body which was embraced by Mahaprabhu in his adolescence, the same body which was harboring Gaur Prema for all his life, the same body which has done so much service and purified thoroughly in and out by that kirtan and so many things which he has done, that body is not anymore, gross Pancha Mahabhut body. In any case, we know that the body of the spiritual master is divine, is special, it is spiritual. So we teach the Guru Maharaj always not only what he has, but even his tadiya, his slippers, his socks, his cane, his specs, and his books, and whatever else he is in touch with, all that is considered as spiritual chintamani shakti. It is chit shakti. So his body is now melting away and becoming milk. And they see the body of the Guru Maharaj is disappearing now. But it is signal to them that they should continue what they are doing. And the body is melting away into the water. And Gangana Chakravarti, his famous disciple, his most respected disciple, his most scholar disciple, then takes a whole jug full of that divine milk water and takes it, and they create a Murshidabad. It is even today there, his Dugdha Samadhi, your Danta Samadhi, Kesha Samadhi, Deha Samadhi. So you also have Dugdha Samadhi, where that body, which is now water, divine water, is entombed there. And of course, we have another Samadhi at in the compound of Okulananda Mandir, is also there. It's constructed there, I guess. That's something like Pushpa Samadhi. So in this way, we have been, there are many several hours of lectures by Radhanath Swami Maharaj on this wonderful subject, where he spoke for several hours when he was at Bangladesh and various other places. So we are already quite familiar with his glory. But today would be a very special day for all of us to reminisce him, and he's here for all of us to pray. And we can pray for his grace. He is the embodiment of Gaur Prem, and also the embodiment of Nityananda Shakti, it is said. And many wonderful things we can pray to him for. His love for Kirtan, his love for his Guru Maharaj. And he's considered as the ideal Vaishnav. The biographers call him as the ideal Vaishnav. Everything which you want to see in a Vaishnav, every trait which you can look for in its perfection, all are there within the divine personality of Thakur Narottam Das. And there is so much to learn, so much to pray for. And we can spend today's day hopefully in reminiscing him and begging for his mercy. Hare Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur Mahashay ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hare Prabhupada.